right. Hello, friends, and welcome back again to another episode of Conservation Stories. Conservation Stories is a podcast brought to you by the Sandhill Area Research Association, or SARA, as we like to call it. And we're bringing to you another innovative conversation today. And interesting, ran into these folks when Lacey and I were in California a few weeks ago, and I heard there was someone from Texas, so I chased them down. I'm like, what are you doing here? And had a conversation about no fence. And I'm super, this type of innovation has been interesting to me for a while, and you guys are really kind of on the cutting edge of some of this stuff. And so I'm glad that you're here, Eric Yates from No Fence.
Yeah,
can you give us a little bit about you?
Yes, ma'am. Thanks, Tillery, for having us here, and looking forward to the conversation with you. So as you said, my name is Eric Yates, and I am the National Sales Director for No Fence. I have been with No Fence a little over 6 months now, but have been in the virtual fence space for the last 3 years, since it basically since it entered the United States. And just love the overall concept of virtual fencing and what it can only do for livestock management, but also for your land management and conservation practice as well. So definitely looking forward to diving in on that with you today.
Yeah. So 3 years, I mean, that's about the time, the first time that I really heard any, like, I mean, I'd heard rumors and stuff, but I didn't know much about it. But then I was down at the Dixon Water Foundation Ranch down in the Martha Alpine area on that ranch. And they were doing some research on some stuff at that time. And I know Tech's done some stuff on this idea of no fencing. So give us a little background. So we have here people that will know some about this, you know, technology. And then we're going to have people that have no clue what it means to have no fence. So give us a little bit of information and background about the technology.
Absolutely. I'd love to. And yeah, so no fence and virtual fencing is relatively new to the U.S., but it's not new to the global cattle industry. And no fence specifically has actually been around since 2013. And the company itself is founded in Norway by a Norwegian livestock producer with goats. And he was out in managing his goats on the side of mountains in some very rural and rugged area, and basically said, there's got to be a better way for me to do this than with electric fence. And they, barbed wire fence is not an option over there. It's actually illegal in the country of Norway. So they have zero barbed wire fence for animal welfare and wildlife welfare. So he started No Fence and has had collars on animals since 2013. And then in 2017, we came into the cattle space and have had collars on since 2017. And the virtual fencing kind of started getting going with Vince, was one of the first ones in the US back in 2019. But was not commercially available till early 2022. No Fence as well came into the US in 2022, but was with some pilot projects for 22, 23, and 24. And we just became commercially available in February of 2025. So a little background of what virtual fencing is and what No Fence is specifically. Virtual fencing is a wearable device that you put on the animal. So it's a collar that goes around the neck of a grown cow. And then you can not only monitor them 24 hours a day via GPS, but you can also contain and keep them out of certain areas to better graze habitats, do rotationally grazing, better conservation practices of wetlands and riparian areas, all without any permanent fencing infrastructure in place. So this is all done virtually through an app on the phone that you can monitor, move, and contain those animals all via a collar and an app, and you can do it from wherever you are. So I can actually be managing my animals while I'm here on this podcast, 2 hours away from my house, with my cattle still out on the pasture, and I know that they're where they're supposed to be, know that they're in the area that I want them to be in, and that all of them are moving and, you know, healthy and alive. So those are some big things that virtual fence can do for open up for producers and livestock owners.
I was thinking about a story, how my dad had gone and rounded up all the cattle off the ranch and brought them back to the house, getting them ready to load up and take to the sale. And that night, like a pack of dogs, we had like wild dogs, came in there and scared them. And they literally were all over the county.
Wow.
And in fact, like a year later, they found a calf that had taken up with another herd and had been adopted by mama and was still like nursing.
Wow.
And this was one big baby calf, let me tell you. It was huge. But I think about that a lot. Like, you know, it was like a helicopter issue to get all these found, you know, located and back. And so I think about that a lot. I also think about how curious cattle are. People might not know this. Cattle are, I think, more curious than cats, but they don't have nine lives.
That's so true.
And neither does anything else that you have in the pen with them. So no. I think a lot about, you know, pivots and like just things that you want to protect from the cattle, like that you can have them in your circle. And then you bet you can also build a fence around your pivot and keep them away from your pivot.
Absolutely. The opportunities are endless. And, you know, obviously that story about your dad and with the cattle and the dogs, you know, we can't do anything for predators, unfortunately, but what we can do is it will notify you, one, if the animal has abnormal activity. So that's one of the new features that we, you know, just outlined, but also if they're pressing up against a virtual fence, the way the virtual fence works is when they try to press up against the boundary, they are getting a audio signal that is a warning as they approach that boundary. And it's an increasing audio signal. So it gets louder the closer they get to the boundary. If they continue to move forward, they then get an electrical pulse through the chain of the collar right around their neck. Mm-hmm. It's a very minimal electrical pulse, does not hurt them. It's just a deterrent to keep them from, from moving forward and make them back up.
With like the no fence,
very much like an electric fence. It's actually about half the voltage of an electric fence. Very, very minimal because you have a lot better contact area on the neck. It's not just their nose touching the electric fence. So you don't need near as much bolts and electricity. But one thing specific to the no fence system is it does give you a real time alert on your phone every time the animal gets an electrical pulse, or if they have multiple electrical pulses. Although we couldn't stop the pack of dogs, you would know real time that something was happening with your animals because you would be getting these notifications that they're getting abnormal amounts of electrical pulses and things like that. Now, depending on how fast you could get to them, I don't know if we could stop them from scattering, but if they did scatter, you would have the tracking capability to know exactly where they're at. You could contain them, say they're getting on the edge of another cornfield or pivot or housing roads. You could actually put a virtual fence in front of them to help contain them no matter where they're at
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Okay,
you could do it in real time.
That's amazing. Yeah, I'm thinking about, I have a lot of animal getting out stories, but horse that got out, all the cousins were playing at the barn with the horses, and this horse got out, and I think my dad and uncle spent all night chasing this horse, you know?
Yep.
And so, you'd know right where it was, and then you just draw fins around it so it will stay there. Oh my goodness, wow.
I'm gonna put one caveat in there. We are only for cattle, sheep, and goats. We don't go on other animals. We are only for cattle, sheep, and goats, but you're exactly right. If you had had some cattle that got out of a perimeter fence, you could use virtual fence to help maybe alleviate how far they travel. Mm-hmm. But also just knowing exactly where they're at. So
oh my goodness,
for different parts of the country, trees falling on fences, cars running through fences, different wildlife taking out perimeter fences. With virtual fence, you don't have any of that to worry about. As long as the tree doesn't fall on the cow, as long as the car doesn't hit the cow, and the wildlife, is not running the animal, the collar is containing them. And then one of the biggest things that we see it being used behind is behind natural disasters. So wildfires, floods, tornadoes, things that you can't control at all with your environment, but really inhibit, obviously destroy fences with floods and wildfires and tornadoes. But also it kind of natural fences limit where the cattle can go. And they can't get away from these natural disasters. So with virtual fence, not only can you come in, you can have a fence on them immediately whenever it finishes. So if a wildfire comes through, burns up all of your existing fences, virtual fence can literally go back on the cattle instantaneously and you don't have to rebuild it. Same with a flood. As soon as the water recedes, you don't have to build fence back. So there's a lot of
It saves their lives too, though, because you can just, you don't have to risk your life driving out there to open a gate.
Absolutely.
And they aren't having to run through a fence. Like you can just turn that off and let them go. Yeah, that's very interesting. It's something I think it's important for, people that maybe are concerned about the electrical shock. As a farm kid, been shocked many a times by an electric fence. And if it is half as much as an electric fence, then I'm like just a child, so don't have as big of a body as a cow does. So I'm like, this is a very, very minor. I mean, it was a big deal to me as a kid.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun, but we did it to each other. We did it to each other all the time. We figured out some way to get, trick each other to touch that fence somehow. Yeah. So it's very, very minor if it's half of that. Wow. That's amazing.
No,
and they're smart. They learn. They learn, but that's why you're giving that noise, is because you're training them.
Absolutely. Yeah. What we see typically, the animal, and you're back to your comment about cats and cattle, that it's a little funny because cattle are actually smarter than what a lot of people, and sheep and goats for that matter, livestock and species in general are fairly smart. And what we see across, so we've got over 200,000 animals collared across the globe. So we have lots of data that we can look at.
Right.
And what we see time and time again is on average, it takes anywhere from 5 to 7 days to train the animals to the virtual fence and they start respecting it. Once an animal gets fully trained, less than 5% of the time do they actually get another shock from the collar. So after that first couple of weeks of them training, they understand very quickly what that sound means. And rarely does an animal receive a shock post that, unless they are just, into a completely new environment, or if there's something happening as another animal pushing them. So that shock is very much just there for a training opportunity.
And so when you move them, they're already trained to that signal. They're not trained to that specific looking for that wire. They're trained to that signal. So you can move them and that just goes with them.
You are retraining the animal's brain to, instead of physically looking for something, because we've all been there where a fence goes down or has a hole in it. And it's like, how did y'all find this? Well, they're always looking, just like the rest of us. And they find that hole and they go through it.
Yes.
With virtual fence, you're removing that mindset of looking for a fence, and they are strictly going to audio and listening. Now, they will still respect a fence in front of them, just like with everybody else.
Yeah.
But they are retrained to listen for that audio, and they know that audio. So that gives you the ability to really rotational graze with ease. You can rotational graze underneath a pivot while the pivot is running, because you don't have to worry about a pivot running over wires. You can graze in rough terrain where it's not feasible to fence. So mountains, brush country, canyons, ravines, all of these areas that have typically been under grazed or over grazed or underutilized, you can now manage with ease and really turn the animal into a tool to manage the land versus the land being solely there to to feed the animal. You can really, you can really change that conservation practice and mindset change.
Yeah. And for people who don't know, it's really become, people have become more aware in the last few years of the need to more frequently move cattle, but that's part of the struggle for that type of practice is that's a heck of a lot of work. That's a heck of a lot of wire. That's a lot of management, you know? And so I think it's prevented some adoption of those practices because like just the feasibility of it for some people has been, you know, it just hasn't been there. But now's a great time because cattle prices are record high. Yay. Absolutely. And so it's a great time for folks to be able to kind of invest in this kind of technology. Are y'all seeing some folks do that while the funds are maybe there?
Oh, definitely. So back to that comment, you're absolutely right. The science is there that rotational grazing is a much better practice for land management and cattle management. Being able to increase your stocking rates, being able to increase your forage utilization, it's all there. But I think every livestock producer in the world is limited by their time. There's never enough time in the day to do everything we need to do. And virtual fence opens up that ability to, one, better manage your time, two, better manage your land and your cattle. And we are seeing a very, very large adoption of virtual fencing in the U.S., not only for rotational grazing, but also just keeping cattle off of certain areas. So, you know, for you in the panhandle, lots of pivots out there that you're growing some kind of crop on, but there's tons of corners of those pivots that are unused ground. Well, we want to use that pivot or that corner of that pivot to graze on, but keep them out of the corn, soybeans, whatever may be planted out there. And so we have a lot of customers that are using it in those instances too, of keeping cattle off of an area, sensitive water areas, maybe some wildlife habitat, maybe some ground nesting bird area that they're laying eggs in. There's so many different use cases for virtual fence that allow you still to graze animals on that property. And we're seeing a ton of it in the public lands sector as well, of they can finally utilize the animal as a tool to manage that land and keep cattle on those public land grazings. And even with our system, maybe bringing in some small ruminants, because for fire mitigation, the further west you go, being able to graze that browse that the cattle may not want to graze, well, now you can bring in some small ruminants and potentially graze that to really reduce your wildfire opportunity as well.
Okay, so goats. I don't think we're as smart. But it's just my opinion. But I have a friend who says, how you know that your fence will keep your goats in is you throw a bucket of water through it. If the water gets through, the goat can get. How do goats respond to no fence? Because I cannot even imagine how many shocks would it take?
Yeah. No, I've heard that many a times. If you don't have a fence that can hold water, you can't contain a sheep or a goat. It.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the highlights of no fence is that it was started as a goat collar. That is where the founder started with. And we have a large amount of the collars that are on sheep and goats that they do phenomenal well. And, you know, goats are actually smarter, again, with cattle. They're smarter than we give them credit for, hence why they can always get out, because they're always looking. Well, they can't get away from a collar. They can't find the hole because the hole is 100% virtual. And we have customers all across the U.S. that are using the no-fence collars to do targeted grazing in small urban areas where there is zero perimeter fence, and they are using the no-fence 100% as their containment area and grazing, you know, 2, 3, 5 acres at a time and doing some goatscaping is what they call it. So landscaping, but with goat. And, but then also we have
I'm going to trial this in my front yard.
There you go.
Can we try this in my front yard? Because I have an oak tree and they've got all these little baby oaks that are coming up. And I keep telling Lacey, I need to come get your goats and put them out there for a couple of days. But I'm like, it would be a pain to like bring in a whole fence. But I'm like, especially, you know, we've talked about Lacey and we've discussed with our organization and trying to do like a lawn conversion project. Like, how can we help people convert to natives? And so that's one of the things I've like wanted to do on my front yard is get some goats in there, eat it all down, and then put in some natives. And then you can even bring your goats back in to, you just, I think they just have to be there for a few hours even. I mean, like, not long at all. That's a brilliant idea. It's a brilliant idea.
We see it across the country as it's actually a new, you know, amount of revenue, funding of revenue that a lot of producers, they have the sheep and goats already. And if there's somebody that will pay them to graze on their property, so they get feed for their animals they already have, and now they can contain them. It's an excellent, you know, second source of revenue for the operation. And then also we have a ton of people using the collars in solar panel areas and grazing sheep underneath solar panels. And actually I've had some conversation with some people that are looking at grazing some cattle in solar panel area, solar farms. But they need some way to manage them and keep them off of, you know, batteries and other type of infrastructure, buildings, things like that, that are inside the solar farm. But they don't want to have any, you know.
They don't want to have any the time to put that in. Like, you can move those goats so fast if you have to go and build those fences. So let me ask you this. Is this, if you don't have internet, what do you do? Because like some of these places that are remote may or may not have internet. And so is this like internet based, or is it just satellite based, or like, I mean, how is this all? What's the technology?
Great question. And there's a couple of different options out in the virtual fence area. So I'm going to speak directly to no fence, but there are other options out there that you can explore for virtual fence. But no fence specifically does use a GPS satellite to get its location. And that's how the caller knows where it's at and knows what it's supposed to be doing. For me and you, for the producer, to communicate with the caller, we do require IoT cellular reception. So the Internet of Things cellular reception. Okay. And I specifically call out the IoT cellular because it's a lot lower bandwidth than our typical iPhones and smartphones. So typical iPhone smartphones need 4G, 5G, LTE type service, because we're basically have a computer in our pocket sending an immense amount of data over. The callers don't need anywhere close to that type of reception. How we best describe it for people like myself who don't know enough about cellular is it's in between the 2G and 3G bandwidth network. And so that allows us to operate in some pretty remote areas where your cell phone may not work, but the caller probably would still work. Now, there are some areas in you know, the deep mountains, maybe some far western rangeland that there is zero reception from anything. And then in that point, the no fence system probably would not be your choice. But I would say give us a shot to see if it works. Because I have a specific customer in West Texas that when I go to his ranch, my phone stops working. And my wife knows that she won't get to me till I get back to the ranch house where there's Wi-Fi. But his callers work phenomenal and have no problem because they're operating on that different level of cellular than what my cell phone is looking for. Basically, we say if you can send a basic text message throughout the area. So like if there's a certain high area that you can go to and send a text message, you will have enough service for the no fence system to work. To add on to that, if you have a specific area where the caller cannot get any cell phone reception, but you have preloaded a virtual fence, say you're crossing a big ravine or a canyon to a certain extent, we know there's not going to be any reception down there. But because the caller can still see the sky and still get a GPS location, the caller houses the instructions for the virtual fence. So if you don't want the cattle to cross that area and they do go into a completely dead zone of cellular reception, the virtual fence will still work.
Okay.
The animals will still respond. You won't get the message and you won't be able to change it. So it's kind of like one of those things where I know I don't want them ever to cross this. So I can put up a virtual fence there and no problem. So we can still operate even in those completely dead zones. So it offers lots of flexibility in different areas.
Yeah.
Now, you do have to have some kind of reception on your phone to be able to manage the app. So, you know, you would have to go back to the ranch house or go to a high point if you wanted to do it on the app.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing about it. You don't have to be out there with the cattle to do what you want to do.
So I'm reminded of the cell phone that my husband carried that we affectionately called the Brick.
Yep.
And he carried it while everybody else had flip phones or something else. And we literally would have kids go, is that a phone? And what is that? But he carried it because in the middle of nowhere, I would have no reception, but he always would. And it was probably in that. Yes, that's exactly right. And it was in that probably that same 2 to 3 G time. And so that makes sense to me. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, the no fence system can operate in some pretty remote, rugged areas, and obviously if you have to have cell phone service to manage the app, but if you don't want, when you're going out to gather cattle on a large area, you can know exactly where those animals are at. And we've seen reduced gathering times, increased gathering efficiency, not missing those one or two animals off of really large scale areas. But then the really cool thing about no fence is they can also go down into a half an acre management size. Mm-hmm. So we could manage your goats in your front yard if you wanted to, and then also manage 10,000 acres with, a couple hundred head of cattle.
The other thing I'm wondering about, because I've read some reports about cattle rustling. People are stealing cattle now because they're so valuable. And it seems like, man, if those collars, they have take that collar off and you're going to be notified somebody that the collar's off. Absolutely. And if it's coming off of a cow, you got to know you got a problem.
You'll get a real-time notification on the app if the collar stops moving. Now, it does take 2 hours of the collar to not move at all. And you will get a notification, a push notification in your phone that animal has not moved. So one, it either means the collar has fallen off, which rarely happens, but it can happen because you're putting it's just like an ear tag. You're putting something on an animal in the wild. Things can happen. Potentially the animal's dead, predator predation, or just simply died of natural causes. You will get a notification that the collar has not moved at all, and you'll have a GPS to go directly to that within a 10-foot accuracy. You can physically go right to that animal.
Man, now, I'm thinking you guys need like one of those dye packs that has a key. So that when it comes off, if they try to cut it off, that pack goes, and then that cow's covered in paint or whatever, and then, they try to take it to sale.
So in the cattle rustling, I've had this conversation actually with a Texas Ranger a Texas Cattle Racers law enforcement. And most of the time when people go to steal cattle, they have to push them somewhere to gather them up. With virtual fence, they don't know where that fence line is.
Right.
So, I've done this before where you forget to turn off the virtual fence and you start trying to push the cattle. Well, obviously, when they hit that virtual fence, start getting that beep, they're going to respond to it, and they're not going to respond in a pleasant way.
Just like a predator. Just like a predator.
You will actually get a real-time notification that, hey, you have a lot of your animals that are getting a high pulse alert. There's something going on with your animal. Go to them right then.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of different things that the no fence system can help with. Potentially in that cattle rustling.
That's so interesting. Okay, so are you tracking other data?
We are. We're tracking movement of the animal. So they're not only their movement relative to themselves, but also movement relative to the herd. So that's one of the features we just launched earlier this last month, called the abnormal movement detection. So if a cow's sick, lame, hurt leg, type of event, that she's moving differently than she has been moving the last couple of days, but she's also moving differently than the rest of the herd is doing. So, and we'll actually fit, we'll send you another real-time alert that, hey, this animal is acting different. We're not going to tell you what's going on because there's a, you know, a multitude of things that could be happening, but we're just going to notify you that this animal is acting different. You should go put eyes on her, send a cowboy, get out there and take a look at her. At the current moment, that's all we're tracking is just that activity. But there are a lot of other things in the pipeline that we can do with on top of that.
I would expect that that's going to come about before too long, because I feel like with tags and with chips and all kinds of stuff, that you'll be able to do a lot of health tracking data and things like that, whether that cow, I mean, that, yeah, if that cow is ready to have calf, or, you know, if they're open, or, you know, I mean, like, it, I think that there seems like to me there'd be a lot of health things you can track.
There's a lot of things that we can do. It's kind of like a wearable for a human. You know, you start off by just telling the time because you have a watch, but now look where they've been. They're able to predict heart attacks, high blood pressure, you know, different things like that. And it all just kind of takes time, but also takes the data to go into it. You know, needing the animal wearing the collar and virtual fence is what's going to get you there. And virtual fence is absolutely the main tool of it. But there are a lot of other things that we can potentially do down the line, because we're tracking them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's 90% more than an average producer will ever see their animal. There's a lot of things that we see it all the time. Whenever a customer gets a no fence system on their cattle, they're like, oh, I didn't even know that my cows went there. Or, man, it's very intriguing how often those cattle do go to this specific location and graze. And, you know, they are able to see things that they normally didn't. And it's an eye-opening moment.
Well, that's fascinating. I really appreciate you taking your time. I'm already thinking, like, my brother needs some of these. He's got a couple of goats that continually break into the well house. But this last week, the two steers broke into the well house and locked themselves in. So I'm like, he needs to put no fence around that well house and collar up those steer and those goats.
Absolutely. Collar up the animals. You can, one, keep them out of the well house, but if for some reason they did, you would have a notification, hey, these animals aren't moving, and here's GPS tracker.
That's exactly right. Where they're can't get in there. They cannot move. That's exactly right. Well, thank you so much, Eric, and I really appreciate it. And we have all the information, everything linked, so that folks want to get a hold of you for more information or to see if it's something that they could use on their own property. And we didn't even get into the structure of how you guys, how the payment system, which I think is intriguing too, because we've talked about this in the past. So there's more conversation to be had if people are curious about how this works and if it would be beneficial for their operation. So thanks, Eric, for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Tillery. Everybody, feel free to go to nofence.com. I think you'll have it linked there. And all of our pricing is very upfront and on the website. But if you have any more questions, you can absolutely reach out to us. We'd love to talk to you, see if a virtual fence would be a fit for your operation.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, friends, for joining us again for another episode. And I hope that you will take the time to go and check out No Fence and let them know you heard it here on the podcast. It's really beneficial to us. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.